It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we welcome you into the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, May 9th, 2013. Thank you for joining us on the program tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is out of town tonight, and I've got a couple people in the hot seats tonight to take his place. First to my right, my brother Joel Gwynn is here. Hello, Joel.
Good evening.
And Eric Reynolds is to your right. Eric is from Fayetteville. Eric, welcome back to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thank you for being here tonight.
So it takes two of us to make up for Greg.
I don't know if you can even. You're probably good. We're glad that you're here. We're looking forward to the discussion. Monty's behind the controls tonight. Monty, glad that you're here as well.
Thank you, Jake.
So we've got lots of mouths, and so hopefully there's some brains behind them, and we'll be all right. So we look forward to the discussion tonight. Looking forward to hearing from you. The number's toll-free, and the line is open, 877-381-4567. The email address is questions@collegeview.com, and the chat room is open to the right of your viewing window. So we're looking forward to hearing from you on either of those avenues tonight. The first question from the chat room tonight that we want to look at is, did Greg get a haircut? I don't know. There you go. We're glad that you're listening, and we want to talk about anxiety on the program tonight. Anxiety is a big problem.
Huge. In fact, it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I've seen some statistics.
I'm worried that it's getting worse.
Right.
Yeah.
I think there's no question that's on. I mean, there's a lot of things to be anxious about.
Right.
And a lot of people are concerned about the direction the country's heading. A lot of people are concerned about the economy. With unemployment up and those kinds of things, the statistics show that as those kinds of things happen, there's anxiety in general among the population.
I think the 24-hour news networks are making anxiety worse as well.
Probably
so.
I
mean, you got just a few years ago, you got news maybe once a day for just a few minutes, and you didn't hear all that much.
Right, and once the topic hits, they'll run wall to wall with it until something else comes up. So, like North Korea was nonstop.
Right, because they've got to have something to talk about, and it needs to be very shocking and very doom and gloom. I mean, it's not if we heard that they're planting flowers in North Korea. I mean, that doesn't make much news.
Right.
So you got to think about that, and we maybe want to talk about how you maybe limit your exposure to some of that if that's causing problems later on in the program. But you've got some statistics that show the prevalence of it.
Yes, I was looking at some statistics, and I saw that there had, this was in 2008, but that was before the stock market bottomed out.
Yeah.
It said 8 out of 10 Americans at that time were stressed about the economy, and that was up 66% from the previous year.
8 out of 10.
So you can imagine if it was going up in 2008, and then the bottom fell out, basically, and in many ways hasn't recovered yet. There's got to be a lot of anxiety out there about the economy, just as for one thing.
All right, that's one cause of the economy. 8 out of 10, almost 8 out of 10. Wow, incredible.
And they also did some other things in their report to find out what is it that causes stress.
Yes.
And here are some other things they found: money, work, health problems affecting family, housing costs, job stability, and Christians aren't immune to those things either.
No, they're not, and we'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about what the scriptures say about being anxious, about the things that a lot of people are anxious about. Joel, you've got some statistics as well.
Yeah, the National Institute on Mental Health says about, in a given year, about 40 million Americans from the age 18 and older, about 18% of which suffer from anxiety, uncertainty, fearfulness, and what they typically will define as anxiety disorder, someone who's suffers with those things for at least 6 months at a time. So there are people in the United States, 18% of which, according to the National Institute on Mental Health, suffer from that for 6 months out of the year or greater.
What's the percentage?
18%.
So
it's a big thing. Part of anxiety is what we talked about. There are some things that are normal stressors. There are some things that just don't deserve the worry, but it's a problem that people have that consumes their mind, consumes their care, and we'll talk more about that, how we can help with that, I think, later tonight.
I was going to say, I think the difference between the statistics on the 18% is that people who have this long, chronic long-term.
Now, and before we go on, there are certain chemical problems, Eric, that could cause this, and those would need maybe some medical attention.
That's what I'm not...
You don't know. I mean, you haven't done the research.
Right. I mean, I think there's definitely people that seem to have anxiety that comes from something other than normal life experiences, and I think there are people that can help with those kinds of things, you know, other than your sort of typical stresses that life comes.
Having said that, I think there are many people and many Christians who are seeking the medical treatment route for anxiety that ought to be handled by following the principles we'll look at in the scriptures tonight. I'm afraid that a lot of in America, the crutch is the medical relief from that, rather than the spiritual that Jesus has given.
There's no question it's all the rise. For sure.
Bill?
Yeah, and we're not psychologists by any means, but as Christians, and through using God's word and putting that His plan in place in our lives, we definitely have an advantage, and we have tools that can help us overcome this anxiety. So we've got a serious advantage if we'll look to God's word and put it into practice in our lives.
The number to call is 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. Kevin in the chat room in Hot Springs, Arkansas, has added Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, which will be a key verse in our discussion as we go along. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. What do you think about anxiety? I asked earlier today on the update list 5 questions for our consideration. We'll look at those tonight, and we'll hopefully get your additions to those answers that have been submitted at questions at collegeview.com. Number one, I ask, is anxiety a sin? We want to talk about that. Is it? Is all anxiety a sin? Is no anxiety? What does the scriptures tell us about anxiety? Number two, what are some unnecessary causes of anxiety in our lives, and how do we deal with these? There are some things that, as Joel mentioned, aren't worth worrying about. And so what do we do with those? How do we deal with them? Number three, what are some unavoidable causes of stress in our lives that can lead to anxiety? You know, things happen in our lives we can't control. They stress us out. And, you know, the car breaks, you know, the house burns down. How do you deal with those? And number four, what are some sins that are closely associated with anxiety? I think if we allow this anxiety to have control of our lives, there's some things that will follow. We'll look at those. And number five, how can we overcome anxiety? The scriptures have numerous instructions for us on how to overcome anxiety in our life. We want to hear from you on those subjects and those questions tonight. Again, 877-381-4567. Is anxiety a sin? What do you think, Eric?
I would say not always.
Okay.
And it sort of probably depends on how you define things, as it, you know, a lot of times is the case, that there's definitely commands that say, do not be anxious.
Yes.
You know, and Jesus says that in the Sermon on the Mount, do not be anxious. You know, take no thought. We're also told, do not fear in several places. But as we look at other passages, we realize there's different kinds of fear. And you know, fear is a natural response to a lot of different things. And I think anxiety, as you mentioned, you know, you come home and the house is on fire. I mean, anxiety is a natural response as well.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to look a little deeper. And there's even passages, I know that one of the emails we received, Joel, there's even some passages that point to maybe perhaps anxiety about the right kinds of things might not be a bad thing.
Okay. All right, so we're not, the scriptures aren't advocating that you have to be on the far end of the spectrum of the type B personality where nothing gets your pulse rate up, you know. I mean, you just, you know. It's not saying that, but we do have to make sure that we keep our anxiety or our concern in check. And so let's look at Clay's response. Clay in Columbia sent in an answer. He says, not within and of itself. In fact, anxiety, deep care or concern for something or someone properly focused, is in fact commended in the scripture, such as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. Eric, you want to read that for us? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. Clay says that's where Christians are told to be anxious for one another. You got a verse?
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and it uses the word care for that same word here, but it says that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another.
Okay.
It's the root word there is translated variously in different translations, but
And it is the same word that is used in the passage that Kevin has alluded to, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing.
Careful. And some would say, mine says be anxious for nothing.
Okay.
Just the same.
All right. That's right. Clay goes on. Moreover, Paul said to be that one of the burdens he bore was his anxiety for all the churches. Again, this would be the translation you're reading, but the same root word, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28.
In the English Standard, it says it uses the word anxiety here for the same root word, but okay. It says, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches.
Okay.
I think I was checking earlier that the King James and the New King James say something like care for the churches. It's that same, you know, you can tell the translators are struggling to come up with the right English word, but it's care or anxiousness, but it's a deep concern, I think, is the words he uses, okay. And that's the right idea.
All right. In the chat room, maybe you can help us as we try to harmonize these concepts. Let us know what you think. Is anxiety always a sin? Additionally, he commended Timothy to the Philippians, saying, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely anxious for your welfare. Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. Same root word there, that Timothy was to be deeply concerned for their welfare. All three of these passages use the same word that is translated anxious or worry in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 28, verses 31 and 34 of Matthew chapter 6. So being anxious or worrying is not a sin when it is properly focused. All right, let us know what you think about that. 877-381-4567. In the chat room, John says, to some, Jesus may have appeared anxious when he prayed three times. Luke 22, verse 44 reads, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I mean, I think that, that would get pretty close to being anxious about what Jesus was about to undergo there. As John referenced in Luke 22, verse 44. John goes on, Merriam-Webster's defines anxiety as a painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipated ill, that being fearful concern or interest or a cause of anxiety is Webster defines anxiety. A painful or apprehensive uneasiness of mind, usually over an impending or anticipated ill, that sort of sounds like what Jesus was doing there in Luke 22.
In another passage in John 12, 27, he said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I've come to this hour. So in more than one case, and then later talking to the disciples, he said his soul is troubled within him. And then getting in the garden, he was sorrowful unto death, and all of that was in anticipation of what was going to happen. So clearly nothing wrong with. And we would think Jesus wouldn't be human if he knew he was going to die the next day, and he was just laughing about it, and you know, or unconcerned at all, we wouldn't even be able to relate to it, because a natural response to impending trouble is to be concerned about it.
All right, 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. Monty is behind the controls. Monty, your thoughts, is all anxiety a sin?
Well, like we've been discussing, there's examples of it when like Paul was anxious for the churches and whatnot like that. So. No, we can't say that all anxiety was a sin, but I think it has to do with how we deal with it. And it really, I think it'd have to do a lot to do with what we're concerned about.
Okay.
Because there are certain things we can be concerned about that are legitimate, like being concerned about spiritual welfare for ourselves or our family or others that we're concerned over. That's a legitimate concern and excuse. But there's other things that we tend to get all concerned and worried about that in the long run of things, probably in a year or 2 years or 10 years, we won't even remember them. So it really wasn't worth being worried about. And Jesus talked about not being worried about certain things because God clothes us and takes care of us. And are we not? He talks about the lilies of the field, how they're clothed. And Solomon in all of his glory didn't look as nice as they do. And that he cares more about us than he does than the weeds out in the field.
All right, that gets us to the Matthew chapter 6 passage, Eric.
Well, and I was just thinking about Jesus' example, mm-hmm. and we're talking about when does anxiety become a sin?
Yes.
Maybe one more thought on that. Combining that with Paul's comment that be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. Look, Jesus is a living example of that he was very distressed, but what did he do? He prayed, and he was comforted, in fact, and then he set his face to go do what had to be done. And so he didn't let his anxiety prevent him from doing the Father's will. Okay. And so he had that natural response, which I think we all experience, but he was in control of it, and it wasn't in control of him.
Self-control. All right. Excellent. Excellent. John adds another definition to anxiety: an abnormal and overwhelming sense of apprehension and fear, often marked by physiological signs as sweating, tension, and increased pulse. John says, I found this especially interesting in relation to the example of Jesus. So, all right. So I think it does. Anxiety is not necessarily a sin, but it is can be a sin if we allow it to overwhelm us and control the way we act. Now, on to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Jesus said there are some things that you flat out should not be anxious about. We're going to talk about those, and that relates to the second question we asked you earlier today. What are some unnecessary causes of anxiety in our lives? How do we deal with these? You know, I'm worried. I'm worried that something might happen to my dog, and I can't function. I'm overwhelmed that my bank account's not looking too good. I've got a lot of bills coming in. I'm overwhelmed. Is that justifiable anxiety? Let us know your thoughts. 877-381-4567. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Hi, I'm Wade Shelton. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Scripture says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You see, we believe here at College View that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh. And I believe that we are dedicated to this cause. That's why we here at College View bring you the Virtual Bible Study each week. Our hope is that you will join us each week here on the Virtual Bible Study in hopes of strengthening your faith so that you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Please join us here every Thursday night on the Virtual Bible Study. I know that it's worth an hour of your time.
Hello, I'm Nick Law from Jennings, Florida. I love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study and hear God's Word taught every Thursday night.
Use your internet connection for something good. Listen to the Virtual Bible Study every week. Now, back to the program.
And we're back on the program tonight. Appreciate you being a part of the program. We're looking forward to hearing from you. The chat room is open tonight to the right of your video window. If you're not signed in there, it's very easy to do. No personal information is required. You can be chatting with other listeners in the chat room tonight. We asked the question, what are some unnecessary causes of anxiety in our lives? Along those lines, Kevin says, how often do our cares today mean little or nothing tomorrow? And we do need to keep things in perspective. And Clay in Columbia says, first world problems are unnecessary causes of anxiety in our lives. He says, we Americans have a lot of problems that the rest of the world, or nearly all of civilization for that matter, could not possibly comprehend. We've got so many things that we're worried about that really are insignificant. And we need to be careful that we don't allow those things to become a cause of anxiety for us. Along those lines, Eric, Matthew chapter 6 is a passage that has to come into this discussion where Jesus tells us, don't be anxious about certain things.
Right. Beginning in verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And then he says something very interesting: is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?
Yeah.
Talks about our focus there. So if our anxiety is over physical things, physical in nature, God's told us, trust in Him, don't worry about those things. That's one way I think the anxiety can be sinful, like we talked about, is if our anxiety is causing us to focus on things that are physical and taking our attention away and our focus away from spiritual things, then it's going to become consuming and consume us in the wrong direction.
It's amazing that he says, is not your life more than food, basically? And if you boil it down to what we need to survive, you get down to food and water, and a lot of people would add clothing and shelter, and Jesus basically says, don't, you know, that's not what life's about. There's something even more fundamental about life than simply feeding ourselves. And that's, if we were to boil it down, if you take God out of the picture and you boil it down, at its essence, providing something to eat so that we can live another day is what we would think would be the baseline, you know, level of concern. But he says there's something more important than that.
So that would rule out all the other higher stuff. And I say, how am I going to be able to afford a vacation this year? Or what are we going to? The bathroom has to be updated. I can't. That rules all those out. We're down on the very fundamental, as you said, components of life, and even those things we're told Don't worry about it.
You know, like we have the ability now to get on a computer and track our, an investment or something. Yeah. You know, so I've got, you know, in 25 years or whatever, I'm going to hopefully have this money, and so I can see it and I can watch it go up and down. And but I mean, here he's talking about what you're going to eat and drink. That's a very immediate kind of a need, and he says don't be anxious about that, which, right, as you say, rules out, of course, all the other higher things that, that we probably, what we actually worry about usually.
All right. He goes on, and it's, I mean, it, you can't get around what he's saying there in Matthew chapter 6.
Right. Look at the, he points to some other things. The birds of the air, he says, they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour of span to his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? And then he says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So, you know, Jesus makes several points, I think, here about why you should not be anxious. He's kind of giving them different things to think about. And the first one was that you've got a more important purpose than even just eating.
Right.
And he doesn't say here what it is, but he tells us elsewhere that that what our more important purpose is, and it's doing the will of God is our true purpose in life, and that is really the only thing that we ought to be worried or concerned about. If we make that first, and that's where he gets to at the end of it, if that's our number one thing, then these other needs are going to be taken care of. So then if we know that's true, why worry about it? Why be concerned? Why be anxious if we know that God's going to provide?
All right. In the chat room, John says, while the Apostle Paul says, be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it may be accurate to also say, be anxious and do not sin. Do not let anxiety compromise our faith in God. That's a good a synopsis there, John. Appreciate that. John goes on and references Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. He says this really emphasizes the point. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, Matthew 6, 33 and 34. It does get back to our focus there.
Right, and I think he brings up a good point that a lot of what Jesus says, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, is almost like the wisdom literature in the way that it's presented. And so, you know, if he says don't take no thought for tomorrow, well, you take that literally. I shouldn't make any plan. I shouldn't even care what I'm going to do tomorrow. How am I going to pay my bills next week or what, you know. But that, clearly that's not what he's saying. Don't plan. Don't think ahead. Don't make a spreadsheet. Don't make a budget. Don't add up your money to see, you know. We know there's other places where he talks about who builds a tower without first counting the cost and thinking about it. So he's not talking about don't think about the future, don't plan, or don't make effort to it. But it is a matter of where our emphasis and our trust and how we can get so focused on those things that they become anxious about them, and that anxiousness can become sinful.
It begins to crowd out and destroy our faith. Okay.
You know, ultimately, if we wasn't having any thought at all for tomorrow, we wouldn't be concerned about whether we was going to heaven or not, because that's in the future sometime. We don't know when, but that's out in the future. So if we weren't taking any thought at all for tomorrow, we couldn't consider our salvation, whether we have it or not. So we know that literally that's not what he's talking about, but he's talking about in a representative or figurative sense. Don't get all tore up about what you're going to worry about, what you're going to eat tomorrow, what you're going to wear tomorrow, where you're going tomorrow, because that's not near as important as serving God today.
Well, the whole idea of sowing and reaping that the scriptures refer to so often, and you know, that concept. I mean, nobody could plant a garden. I mean, you'd be violating the instructions of Jesus if you plant a garden, because you're not going to eat it today. And so you're working for something that's going to be in the future. So it's got to be kept in perspective.
Right. And as a head of a household, it would be irresponsible to not consider tomorrow and make plans and work and save and budget and have food in the house and think about what you're going to eat. So
right.
That's not, I don't think that he's saying you should never think about those things. But it's just a matter of, by way of contrast, that shouldn't be what consumes us. But it's easy to get consumed with those earthly things and let that be the only, and it crowds out, like you said, the spiritual things. So it's a matter of getting the cart and the horse in the right order as far as having our focus on spiritual things. And then it's amazing how all these other things tend to work themselves out if our primary thing is, well, and that's a matter of
promise that it's going to be that.
That's right.
All right. Let us know your thoughts. Looking forward to hearing from you on the program tonight. How do we deal with these things, Eric? How do we get to these unnecessary causes of anxiety? How do we deal with them in our lives? Is the focus?
Well, there's a few things that Jesus points out here. One of them is that remember what's most important. Remember what your purpose is. Life is more than that. Another thing he points to is look around you. And, you know, he points to the birds and the flowers.
Right.
And I think he makes an interesting point there, by the way, about how Solomon was not arrayed as one of these. And I would suggest that perhaps he's speaking that from remembering what Solomon looked like in all of his glory and saying that he didn't compare to these.
He knew.
He knew, right? And he made the lilies, too.
Yeah.
Right? So it's pretty. But, you know, as we look around at God's providential care in nature, and then we look at how God has providentially cared for us,
mm-hmm.
it should be a great source of comfort that, you know, I can look back on my life and I can see how God has taken care of me. I can look around and see how God takes care of nature. I can see the type of Father we serve who takes care of things and provides for things and has provided for me. And that should help me then be at ease about things that would otherwise maybe I would be anxious.
Monty, we've all been through difficult times. God's been faithful to us throughout all of them.
You know, I think back, it's been 8 years ago now when my wife came down with cancer. And that should be a great overwhelming thing to us. And not bragging or nothing, but the people I work for as I was going through that process and all says, well, it hasn't affected your work. You know, how is it that all these things is going on, surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and you don't act like anything's going on, like it's not a problem. But I think it's because I knew that if she lived, we were going to be all right. And she's a Christian and a faithful Christian. If she dies, she's going to go be with Jesus. So, and really, that's the better thing when you get down to it. We don't want to lose our spouse or any loved one, but ultimately, that's the best thing that could happen. So the way that I think that helped me through that, and also the people here at College View took such good care of us at that time, and I don't know how people go through these things that don't have a faithful Christian family, church family to help them through. But I had all of that going for me. I knew what our ultimate goal is to go to heaven, and we're all going to die someday. And so, we've all had our hard times, and if we've got our priorities in order, we're going to get through them.
That's right. That's right. Well, along those lines, John in the chat room adds, it is the arrogance of one's own self-reliance, which James talks against when he writes, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this and that. Joel, a lot of that anxiety is because we think we actually can control it by worrying.
Yeah,
and realize it's in God's control.
It's in God's control. And back to what Maya was saying about health, we see so much on the news, doctor shows, and society is so consumed with health and worry about, am I getting sick? Am I getting cancer? Am I going to make it? And that's strictly physical. And as Christians, we don't have to worry about that. God's going to take care of us, and ultimately it's all going to work out.
And on this issue of control, I think that's a huge thing that we like to feel like we're in control. And so if we feel like we've got everything sorted out,
we've got all our barns built.
We've got the barns built. We've got the stuff here. We've got the 401k going. We've got, you know, it's all taken care of because I've seen to it.
Right.
Well, that doesn't take a lot of faith. That's me trusting in myself. And there's
right.
a lot of danger in that.
Right.
But Jesus makes the point here when he says in verse 27, which of you by being anxious can add, and this is a question of the translation. Mine says a single hour to his span of life. And another would say, like a cubit to his stature or something. But either way, it's the same thing. How can, by just worrying, how is that going to help me control things that would otherwise be out of my control? And the answer is it's not.
Right.
I mean, I can sit around all day long and just wring my hands and stay up, you know, as one of the Psalms or Proverbs says, eating the bread of anxious toil. But it's not going to change, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow or those things are out of my... So sooner or later, I've got to have enough faith to say that it's in God's hands, as Monty talked about. And once we realize that God's in control, then it's really a matter of I have faith, I trust that he's got it under control. I have to be willing to give up control. And that's hard for some people to say, to acknowledge that I don't have control over it. It's not me. And be okay with that.
Right.
But that's where the faith, I think, really has to come.
As you're talking, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 came to mind, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things for joy. So these things of the world, the material things, they're certainly unnecessary causes of anxiety in our lives. We need to be careful and guard against those. I asked next, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break, what are some unavoidable causes of stress in our lives that can lead to anxiety? Joel, you know, things happen. Maybe, you know, maybe some kind of catastrophe strikes. Maybe you're diagnosed with an illness. Maybe your loved one's diagnosed with an illness. Those are stressors. Those can cause anxiety. How do we deal with those types of problems in our lives? We'll talk about that on the other side of the break, and we want to hear from you. 877-381-4567. Questions at collegeview.com. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study will continue right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The Virtual Bible Study continues after this announcement.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. Lots of years and more than 100,000 miles had left their marks on my old pickup truck. It had a peculiar habit of stalling if you didn't play the gas pedal just right in cold weather, and the transmission required a special talent in order to find third gear. In fact, because of its various idiosyncrasies, I'd become the only one who could drive that old Ford with any success at all. Local congregations can be sort of like that old truck. Sometimes we hear criticisms like, they're not friendly, or no work is being done, or they just don't care enough about other people. Now, these judgments may be true, but on the other hand, it might just be that you are not aware of what's happening. You may not know about the work that's being done. At first glance, you would not notice the good sister who carries food to a family that has experienced a serious illness or a recent death. You won't be able to see the brother who offers some money to help another in need. Seldom can you detect cases where vital words of encouragement are directed toward a weak Christian. You may not recognize those who extend hospitality to visitors, the extra Bible studies being held to convert lost sinners, the many kind deeds being performed. These, you see, are not being done to be seen of men. One disgusted fellow who borrowed my old pickup truck returned it and said it was only fit for the junkyard. I knew that he just didn't know how to drive the thing. Some who criticize the local church just haven't taken time to get to know it and to appreciate the good work that is being done. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Hi, my name is Zach Coleman, and when I'm listening to the Virtual Bible Study, I love to hear comments from other listeners. So please join in tonight's discussion by sending an email or by making a phone call. The address is questions@collegeview.com, and the phone number is toll-free, 877-381-4567.
Missed a recent Virtual Bible Study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the Virtual Bible Study.
Back on the program tonight. We're glad that you're here as well. We want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us by visiting our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com, where you can find our directions to our meeting place and our times of meeting. And you'd be welcome at any of our assemblies. If you have any questions about anything that you've heard on the Virtual Bible Study in the past or what we might believe or practice, we would encourage you to contact us anytime at questions@collegeview.com. We'll also remind you that if you have anything that you'd like to discuss in this format, perhaps you have a question or a topic that you think would be good for discussion on the Virtual Bible Study, we welcome that at any time. Again, at questions@collegeview.com, at collegeview.com, or thevirtualbiblestudy.com. You can also find out more information about how you can podcast this program and also recent sermons that have been presented at the College View Church of Christ. Check us out on the internet, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. We're talking about anxiety on the program tonight. My brother Joel Gwynn and Eric Reynolds are here together today with us talking about anxiety. It is a problem, and it is a problem that scriptures teach about extensively. We've got to be careful that we control our anxiety, and that's basically been the consensus and the conclusion as we've looked at anxiety, and we've seen places where Paul was concerned. Jesus was obviously concerned before his crucifixion, but how we direct that anxiety, how we control that, keeping that under control is clearly what the scriptures tell us we need to be doing with our anxiety. And we asked the question earlier today, what are some unavoidable causes of anxiety in our life? Joel, life happens, things happen, and there's some things that will stress us out that we don't have any control over.
Right. I think those things that we don't have control over are typically what stress us out the most and can consume the most of our worry. Worrying and stressing about things that we can't do anything about. So worrying about them won't make them any better. We'll talk more about prayer later. Praying is one of the best things we can do about something that we're worried about, we know is out of our control. We just had some members here that had a son who was deployed overseas and was in a real hot spot. What a tremendous source of anxiety that would be to have one of your loved child that you love in a place getting shot at. It could be consuming. It could consume you. You could worry day and night. You could lay awake and not sleep, concerned about the well-being of a loved one. We can see how that could happen. But as we look to God's scriptures, we realize that's not how he wants us to be, and that's not how we have to be. So those type of things can worry and make our lives absolutely miserable. We can be in torment because we're so full of anxiety, so full of worry, and typically those are things that worry revolves around something that we absolutely can't do anything about, as far as I can't go and turn a button and turn it on or turn it off or make it go away. It's out of my control.
I think one of those things that we worry about that's out of our control as well is job security. I don't know if it was really the way I picture it, but it seems like there was a time, maybe before even us, you know, when somebody would start at a place and work there for 40 years and then retire and then live on the pension or the retirement, you know, till they died. And it just seemed like those days are gone, it seems like to me. And even companies that before would be what we would think of as, you know, just now, there's no promise. And maybe that's good for us, you know, because it's probably an illusion anyway that there's some security in something other than God.
Right.
But now, more than ever, nobody knows when there's going to be, you know, things are going to, there's going to be turnover, there's going to be a place shut down or purchased by some overseas company. And so that's something that some people would be obviously have to face, is the uncertainty of tomorrow.
Right. All right. Let me hear from you on the program tonight. Let us know your thoughts. Kevin has an interesting passage. He references the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. And the one who on whom seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. He says we don't want to be considered the poor soil there.
Right. In the English Standard, it uses the word cares, and I bet it's that same word, because we were looking at earlier, is it care, is it worry, is it anxious?
Let me look at that.
But it is the, yeah, that's 13:22.
Matthew 13:22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it is the idea that these things can overwhelm us if we allow them to.
Right. There's that principle of time management, mm-hmm. you know, where there are things that are important and there are things that are urgent. Yeah. And sometimes the urgent things aren't really important, you know.
Yeah.
But if we're not careful, we focus on the urgent things and we forget what's important.
Yeah.
And that's definitely, and I think that really may be at the heart of what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6. Not that we shouldn't care what we're going to eat, but that if it's easy to get distracted by that so that we forget what's really important. And that's, I think, what the parable of the sower is talking about, these weeds.
And it starts slow. And that's the way anxiety would work, is that it's going to start slow and it's just going to grow and blossom into something that totally chokes out the word. Monty?
You know, it just come to me a second ago that if we would think about it, if we would go back and read the book of Ecclesiastes and all the things that Solomon talks about, you know, chasing after money, well, that's vanity. Building great monumental construction projects, that's vanity. All the things that we think about normally that we would give our worry and concern to, Solomon has done told us it's vanity, because ultimately, if I live to be 100, it's not going to be that long till all those things are gone, and I won't have them anymore, because he even talks about that, building up wealth and properties and possessions. Sooner or later, you're going to die, and then it's going to be somebody else's, and are they going to manage it as good as you did? So ultimately, all these things that we consume ourselves worrying about one thing or another, it's all vanity. What we need to be focusing ourselves on, as Solomon says at the end of the book, is fear God and keep his commandments, because that's the whole duty of man. If we'll do that, that one important thing, everything else will take care of itself in the long run.
All right, great. Eric, you had a passage from the Psalms that you felt fit in well here.
Well, and before I get to that, to add one thing, I think, in fact, it's the opposite of what we would expect. You would think that if, as you build up material things, you'd have less to worry about. I mean,
right.
we would think.
Right.
And yet, I think experience, I think there's scriptures that would say, although I have to think if I can find one, but that, that actually with all of that wealth comes anxiety and concerns. And if I'm not mistaken, even that's mentioned in Ecclesiastes, that he rises while it's yet dark and stays up. And yet, what's the point of all that? Because somebody else is getting to enjoy what he's doing.
Right.
That with the blessing of all these things, and it goes back to what Clay said about first world problems. We're richer than everybody else in the world, and probably have more anxiety than people who literally live hand to mouth and don't know where their meal's coming from, and they probably don't have the anxieties that we do, which is
ironic. And sad. Yes. Okay.
And the verse I mentioned, I was trying to think of it earlier before the break, and it's Psalms. Or Psalm 127, 1 and 2, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And I think that's a good picture of somebody who's got a problem with anxiety. They're up late, they're eating this, you know, the figurative there, but that bread of anxious toil just sort of churning, concern, can't sleep, can't rest. And it's saying if God's building the city, if you've got him in your life, then you can go, he gives to his beloved rest. You can go to sleep.
He's in control.
He's in control.
All right, excellent thoughts. 877-381-4567 is the way you contact us tonight on the phone. We want to hear from you on the program. So we've got unnecessary causes in our lives that we may present, that we cause the stress in our life. We also have some unavoidable causes of stress in our lives, some things that happen to us that we have to deal with. But in it all, we've got to remain in control of that anxiety. We've got to focus on what we know from God's word. We've got to keep our priorities and our focus in the right place and not allow this anxiety to consume us. And so we need to understand that as well. Now, as we go on in the discussion, I asked earlier today, what are some sins that are closely associated with anxiety? I forgot Clay's answer to some of these unavoidable things. He says other people's actions are some causes of anxiety. It has. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, what have they done to me? And worried about that. How do you overcome this? He says prayer, teaching the word, exhortation to remain faithful, and more prayer are ways you overcome that. Thank you, Clay, for that. And then I ask number four, what are some sins that are closely associated with anxiety? Clay focuses on those material things, and he lists two, greed and covetousness. Those certainly would be the result of some of that anxiety. Joel, you're worried about what am I going to eat? You're worried about my financial security, and you become greedy. You become covetous because you see someone else who has more, and you assume that that makes him stable, and he doesn't have any anxiety, and so you become covetous of those others.
Yeah, the New York Times actually wrote an article and said one of the leading causes they felt like in the United States where we were so prone to suffer from anxiety was that we were trying to keep up with others around us, keeping up with the Joneses, if you will. You know, the neighbors all have new cars. I can't afford a new car.
What am I going to do?
What am I going to do? How am I going to get a new car so that I look like everybody else driving up down the road to Walmart? And focusing on those things like the parable sort of the deceitfulness of riches, those things can choke us out. We can focus on that and totally forget what's most important.
All right. Eric, what are some other sins you think that would be associated with anxiety if it's unchecked and not controlled?
Well, I was thinking of the sort of the same thing that the same one sort of came to my mind about materialism, you know, kind of the opposite of focusing on the kingdom would be just focusing on earthly things. And so, you know, I guess there would be sins of omission in the fact that we fail to do the things the Lord wants us to do, kind of like the one talented man who said he was afraid, and so he buried his talent, and, you know, when it did nothing, and that was what he was punished for, because he just didn't do anything with what the Lord had entrusted him with because he said he was afraid.
That's interesting, yeah. So the anxiety just paralyzes you.
Right.
And you don't act at all because you're worried about what could happen. Excellent. All right, Monty, any thoughts, any sins that you think of that would be associated with this idea of anxiety?
Well, as we was talking about with the covetousness and greed, a lot of times I think people, that may be the cause of a lot of the illegal activities go on, because we're worried about, are we going to have enough money, so we'll go steal something from somebody because I can't afford it. Or we'll get into selling something, maybe illegal drugs or something, because we got to have more money, because if something bad is going to happen, and I got to have the funds to cover it. Okay. So I think people let this worry and stuff get overwhelmed them to the point they do all sorts of wicked things that they shouldn't or wouldn't do otherwise if they had their focus in the right place.
All right. What comes to mind is, in my mind, is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Anxiety is going to work counter to that. It doesn't cause me to trust in the Lord with all my heart. It doesn't cause me to acknowledge him and let him direct my path, because when the anxiety starts up, then I begin to interject my think-sos and my will in, how am I going to solve this problem? And so those are some things that could be resulting from anxiety.
And ultimately, as we know, we're told in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. And when the disciples panic, for instance, when the water's coming over the sides of the boat, they panic and they go to Jesus and wake him up and they say, don't you care, we're about to die.
Yep.
And in that moment, they had lost their faith, I would say. It had got washed overboard too. Because he says, oh, you have little faith. You know, why? What are you so afraid of, basically? You know, where's your faith?
Yeah.
And, you know, what would he expect them to do, just to sit down and watch the boat sink? Obviously not. They should be concerned.
Yeah.
The boat's filling with water. They got to work as hard as they can. It's rightful that their pulse would be increased and all that. But in the midst of all that, we can't let our faith be lost. We can't stop trusting in God that he's going to take care of us. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
There may be a point where that uncontrolled fear and anxiety becomes sinful in its lack of faith.
Right. John says he's known people who become so worked up over a situation they stay home from worship services, Bible classes. There'd be that paralyzing effect that we've talked about, and John's observed it firsthand. Bonnie?
You know, I know someone who was having a lot of health issues and a lot of things going on in their life, and someone went with two of them and was talking to them, and as we talked about a while ago, prayer helps us with these anxieties. And they asked that person, well, have you prayed about it, or are you praying about it? And they said, no, I don't pray anymore. It doesn't do any good anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think the problem was they had their own, as we often do, our own expectations of how God ought to fix this problem for us. And when the problem didn't get fixed the way they wanted it, it's like, well, what's the point? I'm not going to do it anymore. But they had become overly anxious about these issues and weren't willing to accept that God, as we discussed earlier, God was in control. And it's going to work out one way or another. But they let it overwhelm them to the point that they lost their faith.
All right. And that's certainly a danger. Let's go to a break. And when we get back, there are numerous passages that tell us, give us instructions on how to deal with our anxiety. We need to look at some of those. Eric, you got a thought before the break? Okay, you did. Okay. We'll take a break. We'll get to the top of the hour. We'll get your thoughts. How do we overcome anxiety is the final question. And will the scriptures tell us how to deal with our anxiety? We'll look at those on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Now you can listen to a podcast of a recent sermon every week. Find out more at collegeview.com. There's more of the virtual Bible study right after these important messages.
I'm Tom Goodall, a member of College View Church of Christ. Do you have a question about what has been said on the virtual Bible study tonight? Perhaps you disagree with something that was said, or would just like more information about what you've heard. If so, we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us with any questions or comments that you might have. Email us at questions@collegeview.com, and we can discuss any of your questions or comments with you privately or over email. Or if you would like to speak with someone in person, call us at 931-381-4567. Our promise to you is that we'll do our very best to give you a Bible answer for anything that we do or teach, and that we'll do so in a loving manner. So if you have any questions or comments about our program tonight or any Bible subject, email us at questions@collegeview.com or call 931-381-4567. Thanks for listening to tonight's virtual Bible study, and we hope to hear from you soon.
I am Nestor Sanchez from Arica, Chile in South America, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study. And this moment, I invite you to participate in this program too.
For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The virtual Bible study continues.
And we're back on the program tonight, 877-381-4567, questions@collegeview.com. Plenty of time to take your thoughts, and we want to look at the scriptures on dealing with anxiety now. Lots of passages, Joel, tell us about how we need to deal with this anxiety. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount not to be anxious about certain things, and the scriptures go on and tell us how to deal with that, how to fulfill the instruction.
Right. So some of these ideas might overlap some, but I think first of all we have to say we need to employ the power of prayer in our Christian lives as we try to overcome this fear and this anxiety.
In the chat room, Kevin says, how many situations would be greatly capitalized, improved, if prayer was used? And that certainly is the case. That needs to be a primary tool in our toolbox.
Right, right. Philippians 4, Paul obviously had a lot of stress in his life. A lot of people out to get him, facing possible persecution. But what did he say there in Philippians 4, verse 6? Be careful for nothing. The American Standard Version, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. This says, don't be anxious. But what are you supposed to be doing? You got to replace those nerves. You got to replace that worry with something. What do you need to be replacing it with? With prayer and supplication. Give it to God. Tell God what's troubling you. Tell God what's on your mind. And then as Christians, we have that blessing that no one else can understand like we can, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. So we can find that peace. That's what, if you're burdened with stress, you're burdened with anxiety, you want more than anything, you want peace. You want comfort. And Philippians 4 tells us the way to do that is to pray to God.
All right, gotta pray.
I remember somebody asking one time for some explanation about that peace that passes understanding. But perhaps it's even hinted there. I don't know exactly what Paul meant by that, passes understanding, but it almost seems to imply that there is a peace that we may not even be able to describe the source of it, but we can experience it. And what a blessing that is, that I believe that's in whatever way God works in that way, in answering prayer, one of the things is that peace that guards our hearts.
And certainly that's a calming thing that would overcome some of this anxiety.
In fact, it's kind of the opposite of anxiety, I would say. Right, and that's what you're saying.
Right.
There's anxiety and there's peace.
Yeah.
And prayer moves us kind of from one to the other.
Okay, all right. Anything else, Joel?
Well, couple that with prayer, obviously we need to have faith and trust in God.
Okay.
If that prayer is going to be effective.
Well, and if it's not, I mean, the prayer won't be effective if we don't have the trust.
Right.
Okay, so that has to go with it.
1 John 5 tells us that we can overcome all things, anything this world would throw our way. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Okay, all right. So you've got to have trust. Without the trust, the anxiety will control us. It will be crippling. It will overwhelm us. We won't direct or control it as we should. We've got to have trust in God. Excellent.
Right. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, a familiar verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. Part of anxiety is we don't know how it's going to work out, or we can't see a good end, or we're concerned that there's something bad is going to happen to us. We don't understand how we're going to get out of the tight spot that we're in.
Yeah.
Don't lean on our own understanding, Proverbs tells us, but trust in the Lord.
John in the chat room references 1 John 6, verses, or 1 John 1, I'm sorry, James 1, verses 6 through 8. James talking about praying for wisdom. He says, let him ask in faith, not doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways.
And I would say that, I think we would all agree on this, but it's something I remember wondering about. Like, does that mean I have to believe I'm going to get what I'm praying for?
No.
Clearly not. So it's what kind of faith or doubting would you say he's talking about?
Faith that God can do what we're asking, and that he's hearing us. And
I think there's more than that, because like we was talking about earlier, when we're in this trouble and we want relief for it, and we've got, and maybe even specify, God, please help me out, do this for me or whatever. But I think when we've got that ultimate faith in God, we know that no matter what we ask for, he's going to do what's best for us. And and what I perceive to be the solution to the problem may not be a particularly good way at all. It may be the only way I can see to fix it, but it may not be not only not the right way, but not even a good way. Yeah. But I have faith that God is going to do it the best way for me and everybody concerned.
Right, absolutely. All right, anything else, Joel?
Well, long as the trust, David in Psalms 23, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Okay.
So obviously then I think trust is probably the number one tool, trusting in God, that we need to have, and couple that with prayer. But there's more. We can find comfort in scriptures, we know, from Romans chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4 tells us, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Eric, how might we find comfort in the scriptures, and how might they give us hope?
Well, I'll tell you one, as I was thinking about earlier as you were talking, you know, we say trust God. Well, somebody could maybe need a little help with why I should trust God. How do I know God's going to take care of me? Whatever. And I think Paul gives us this point in Romans 8, 31, 32, and he says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And he goes on to say, nothing's going to defeat us. And if I understand what he's saying there, if we look at the cross and we see what Jesus did and we see God's love for us, we begin to say, well, if God did that, if God sent his son to die, he loves me, he's going to take care of me. And so those are the kinds of things that we find as we study and we learn about God, we learn what kind of God he is, we see how he's taken care of his people throughout history, and all that's recorded for us here, and we see ultimately the cross and what Jesus did for us, then we have a confidence that a God who would do that he's got this under control.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a history to work from. All right, good. And Joel, I think another thing we need to do is we need to be busy. Idleness is certainly an opportunity for us to become anxious.
You know, we've all heard stories of people who are just so troubled and stressed and full of anxiety that they can't even get out of their house, and they just kind of build a prison around themselves and consumed by all these negative thoughts, all these worries that they have. And one of those ways we need to be busy. The Bible tells us we need to do that. You don't have to look very far among elderly or those around us that are in terrible situations, the worse situations than we are. You know,
yeah.
We've got a lot of times good health, but we may be worried about something. We can go visit others. We can be busy doing good for others. That makes you feel good when you do something good for others. It takes the emphasis and the view and the perspective off of yourself and focuses your attention on others. I think when we take that perspective and be less selfish, more thinking of others, we're less likely, I think, to have anxiety. Ephesians 5:12 says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich shall not suffer him to sleep." The idea there that we need to be out busy and working. You think of a man who's out working all day, laboring, he hits the pillow and he's asleep before he even closes his eyes and hits the pillow. That's kind of the opposite of someone who just sit around all day worrying, feeling sorry for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Sits awake all night, can't sleep, consumed with worry.
All right. And I think, Eric, as we talk about this quickly, we need to wrap things up, but we've got to be content. I think anxiety often arises from people who aren't content. Joel, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul said that he had learned whatever state he was in therewith to be content. How much of our anxiety would be erased if we were just content with where we were and not upset about the certain things in our lives that we can't control?
And Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy 6, the love of money and all the trouble it causes.
Yeah.
And people have pierced themselves with many troubles, and it's a snare, and, you know, being consumed with physical things. And in fact, it's in the context of Matthew 6, right before he talks about don't worry. He says, no man can serve two masters. Yeah. And he talks about laying up treasure in heaven, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just look to make sure I'm not steering you wrong there. But, yes, so verse 19, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And then he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Then in verse 25, don't be anxious about your life. So it is in this context of being so focused on earthly things versus being focused on heavenly things.
Yeah.
And if we're content with the earthly things we have, whether a lot or a little, like Paul said, if we're content because we realize we can't take it with us, it's passing away, then it'll free up a lot of that.
All right. Well, it's been a good discussion. As we talk about anxiety, Eric, you were talking during the break about experiencing certain terrible things in our lives. And Monty mentioned a serious illness with a loved one. Those things are very big stressors on our lives. God still expects us to keep our anxiety in check and under control. And Monty, on the other side of those things, dealing with those things, I think you would agree that it builds your faith, as James chapter 1, verse 3 tells us, these things will build our faith. And looking back on the other side of those things, when dealt with appropriately, you come out stronger on the other side.
I believe you do. And I also think it teaches you a lot about, when Jesus talks about seeking first the kingdom of God and all these other things be added to you, it teaches you a lot about priorities, because then on the other side of it, things that maybe at one point in your life would have been a big deal to you, you can look back and say, look, in comparison to this other, that really doesn't matter all that much. You know, you learn not to let things, maybe you've been a sensitive person, and kind of like we talk about, somebody's got a chip on their shoulders, we're real sensitive about what other people say, and we're quick to take offense. Well, after you've gone through some big thing and come out the other side, from it, you realize that the things people say really don't make that much difference. I mean, there's no point in getting all tore up over it because there's bigger, more important things to deal with in life than that. And ultimately, it gets back to the fact that if you're living right, we all know we're going to die someday from something. The Bible teaches us we're all going to be tested and have trials and tribulations, so we don't need to give this woe is me, why is God doing this to me kind of attitude. We need to just accept that this is a test, and I have the responsibility and obligation to come through it as a faithful Christian should, and then so we deal with it like that and do what we believe the Bible teaches us to handle it properly, and then everything's going to be all right one way or the other after that.
All right, and it reminds me of Psalm 37, verse 25, where the psalmist says, I've been young and now I'm old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Eric, we can look back on our lives, we can look back on the lives of others, and we realize that God is faithful, and that will help to ease the anxiety we might experience.
And Jesus says at the end of the whole chapter, the last verse is, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day its own trouble. And I can't remember which president it was. One of them said, if you see 10 troubles coming down the road, 9 of them will run in the ditch before they get to you, or something like that. So it's a lot of what we worry about ends up not being a problem in the end. And that's why it's silly to borrow the trouble from tomorrow. And Jesus leaves it as, deal with the day, and God will be there, and he will see to it that you have what you need. And if we, you know, if it comes down to it, we just take it one day at a time and trust that God's going to provide.
All right, a couple verses from John as we conclude. He references James 1, verses 2 and 3, as we mentioned just a minute ago, that the testing of our faith produces a steadfastness. And he also references Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and this is an excellent passage to conclude with. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. If we'll do that, it'll help, it'll remove a lot of the things that would normally cause anxiety. All right. Good discussion tonight. Joel, thank you for coming, for your thoughts. And Eric, thanks for coming from Fayetteville to join us tonight. Appreciate
that. Thanks for having me.
And Monty, thank you for a good job on the controls.
Thank you.
Glad that you're here. And thank you for listening. Hope you benefited from our study and discussion of God's Word. We hope you'll make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you, put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.